Fine. All right. Am I on? Is this thing on, or am I just not funny at all? Both. Well, we, of course, last week finished a sermon series, and we are going to be starting another one, but today I'm just going to kind of preach, and doing lots and lots of prayer about what to speak about. Kind of two things kind of been on my heart lately in our society, in our world, even here in Hoopston. There's two things that people say all the time anymore that I'm not sure mean a whole lot. Number two is, I believe in God. Did you guys know in Hoopston, a town that I love and is home but is very unchurched and people don't go to church and I don't believe in large part live for Jesus, not judging, just observing, or as the Bible says, making a righteous judgment. And so that having been said, I have now in 6 years of being here never met one person in Hoopston who said to me, I don't believe in God or I'm an atheist. Everybody I meet believes in God, but I don't see it in a lot of lives, and I'm not perfect either, but I mean, you kind of can tell the difference to some extent. And the second thing is, am I doing something wrong? Is this thing messed up? Is it still going on? You guys hear me okay? All right. Nope.
Is that better? There we go. Is that awkward for you? It wasn't for me. I don't care. It's all right. It's just technology. And number two is, I love you. Those three words. I hear all the time. I think that they become cheap to say. I see and counsel people and in relationships and situations where I love you is spoken but not acted out. I think it's very easy. If you've ever been in a relationship, one of the easiest things to do, husbands, can you relate to this? When you've really messed up or said something stupid and your wife's mad at you, what's the easiest way to try to get out of it? Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I love you, right? Nobody? Men? Yeah, it's okay. It's what I do. It doesn't work, but I try it. Those three words, I love you. And so today, I want to talk about love because, you know, guys, we haven't preached about this in a while. And if you guys remember what Jesus said when he was asked, what's the most important thing to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to love. In Matthew 22, Jesus talked about that. We're going to be in Matthew today in Galatians if you have your Bibles. Jesus told us that loving was the most important thing we could do. He said that we must first what? Love God and love each other. Now, loving God means what? It means that we're going to try to please God. It means that, because be careful. There's some doctrine going around in recent decades that it's all about grace and love, so live however you want as long as you love people. No, because loving God means you're going to want to try to please God with your life. You're not going to want to live in sin. You're going to want to try to please Him, to love Him, to live for Him. And loving each other, Jesus said, goes right along with it. I want to talk about what that means today because the Bible says that the entire law is summed up with love. It says that in Romans. And so of all the things we try to do to follow Jesus, to please Him, to live for Him with our lives, loving is the most important thing. And I'm not just saying that we need to say that or think that. We need to live that out because there is not a lot of love in the world today, is there? I'm 40 years old, and I guess at times take for granted the lack of love in the world because I had loving parents and a loving family and a loving church, but it's rough out there. Actually, there was a story. My wife's a teacher. I want to be careful, but long story short, there was a story over the last couple of weeks of a young man in our school system, 18 years old, without getting into detail, had never had a birthday cake and never had a Christmas morning in 18 years. So it's the world. Hoopston's a small town. Everything here is pretty decent. It's really not. This young man had never had a birthday cake, a birthday party, or a Christmas morning with his family. Here. And so, guys, we, I think, at times take for granted that there are a lot of people, even in our community, a lot of marriages where I counsel people and I love you is never said. A lot of kids who don't get hugged. A lot of adults I counsel now that didn't get hugged as a kid, didn't get told I love you, didn't get told I'm proud of you. It goes on. It really does. And look at the world today. Think of all the children that are orphaned, that have no love at home. It is just heartbreaking. Hate dominates our headlines. I want to put a picture up that you've probably seen over the last few months. If you haven't seen this, you probably don't watch the news, of a young boy, I think 5 years old, in Aleppo, Syria. And this isn't about politics or race or religion or terrorism. This is about the hatred and the lack of love that is in our world. That's why his house was bombed. There he is, doesn't know if his parents and family are dead or alive, completely alone. And I have just never seen, like I've seen in recent years, the hatred that's in the world. And it's not a politics problem. It's not a terrorism problem. It is a heart problem. It is human nature, the lack of love, our sinful hearts. That's exactly what it is. I've had enough with you, by the way. I have no love for you, speakers. And so that's what's going on in our world. That's our issue. Our issue is love, or lack thereof. And I just see things like that picture, and I'm like, this world is so messed up, and what the world needs is love. And guys, you and I, as followers of Jesus, when we will commit and begin to love like him, we can change the world around us. When the disciples asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? Jesus didn't say, have a me fish on your car. He didn't say, don't smoke, don't play the lottery, listen to enough Christian music. You must read the Bible X amount of time, hours a day. And you must be in the Word as a follower of Jesus, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't give a set of rules and a set of laws. He said, love. He said, love the Lord your God and love each other. Everything is based on love, and there is power in love. When you're loved, doesn't it feel good? I mean, the hope of the gospel is that God so loved the world. Jesus loves you. He died for you. It's love. When you are loved by your family members, maybe it's your children, your spouse, or my wife does acts of love for me, when she makes my favorite food, when she does things to show that she loves me, that makes me feel good. It makes life feel better. But on the flip side, there's a whole world out there who doesn't know that they're loved. And they might know John 3:16, but what we're going to talk about today is ways we can love. But I think one of the biggest issues, and one of the biggest reasons that people say they're hypocrites in church and that's why they don't want to come, I don't think it's because of the sin we struggle with. I don't think it's because they look at us and our lives don't necessarily, aren't always, you know, perfect and absolutely crystal clear, and we should be living holy lives. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's that we have missed the mark, maybe for generations, on loving the world like we should. I don't think it's about what we do. I think it's about that we don't show the love, that we don't show the kindness, the mercy, the grace, the compassion. And even here's the worst thing. Let me tell you something. We are full of hypocrites when we fuss with each other. When people look at the church and we're bickering, that's the worst. It's why you will not hear me talk about other churches, other pastors. No way. When they see and hear that from us, we are hypocrites. And so what we need to do is to love better. We need to love ridiculously. What the world needs is love. It doesn't need a different leader. It doesn't need different leaders. It doesn't need different rules. It doesn't need different policies. It needs love, because the problem with mankind since the beginning of the time has been sin. It's been the human heart and the wickedness of it. And that includes ours, because we don't always love like we should, but we need to remind ourselves every once in a while what a priority that it is. When the fruits of the Spirit are mentioned and listed, what's the first one? Love. Galatians chapter 5. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want and to destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out, because in no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other and ruining your freedom. All of God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. And if you're here this morning, and most of us, most in here, I'm sure, are believers, followers of Jesus, the one thing you can do to ruin your testimony, to ruin your faithfulness, to ruin people getting saved, to ruin and be a part of ruining their eternities, is to not love one another, is to devour one another. Guys, God has blessed us, and we have a great church here, but if you want to start, and we want to start being negative and backbiting each other and complaining and gossiping, we'll ruin it. And I'm so thankful we don't have much of that, but we need to always be on guard for that. for negativity, for complaining, for gossip, because love one another. Love others as you love yourself. Use your freedom Jesus bought for you to serve one another in love, to not seek your own way, but to put others first. Love is first. See, when you have a heart that is surrendered to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has put the love of God in your heart. And that leads to miracles and fruit in our life when we love that way. So how do we love that way? I hope you're taking notes. I have 6 points this morning. If you're not taking notes, this would be a great time to start. Grab your phone. You got a notes app, whatever. Jot some of this stuff down. It's not a comprehensive list, but it's a great list of ways that we can love better. And listen, to love Jesus, to be on our way to heaven, to be saved, means, again, what it means to love. God's word is summed up by love. Jesus said all the law is fulfilled when you love God and when you love one another. And not in word, but in action, in how you act, in how you treat others, in how you speak. And so what's the first way we can love like Jesus? Is to love unselfishly. That's the first thing we can do, is to love unselfishly. Jesus loved you very unselfishly. He came down. He went through all the incredible amount of things he went through out of love for you. He went to the cross. You think about when that verse says, love God, love others. I want you to think about the cross. The cross was the perfection of the mix of loving God and loving others. He went to the cross because it was God's will and he was obedient to it. So see, the whole law being summed up in love doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want and live however you want. That's not love for God. Love for God is being obedient to his will. And that's what the cross was. Didn't Jesus say, please take this away, Father, but if it's your will, okay. So if you're out here and you're living in sin and you're disobedient, you're not in the word, you're doing however, living kind of however you want, but I'm a good person, I'm loving, I'm forgiving, I'm kind, you're not loving God. Loving God means being obedient to his will. I know we fall short, but are you giving your effort? Are you living in perpetual sin? That's not loving God. And then the cross also, Jesus showed his love for the world, his love for you and I, his love for those that rejected him and would for all of time until he returns, by going to the cross and loving others. The cross is the perfect kind of synergy of love for God and love for others. It was unselfish. And so how does Jesus tell us how to love? If you have your Bibles, Luke 6, 27 through 36. Listen to this about how we're supposed to love with our lives. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Don't cuss back. Don't react. Don't hate them. Don't gossip. Don't go to someone else and tell some, can you believe what they said or did? Love them. Pray for them. To him who strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And from him who takes away your shirt, give him your coat as well. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus did, and that's how Jesus tells us how to love. He says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, don't ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do to them likewise. Now, here's where we have an issue, I believe, is verses 32 through 36. He says, but if you just love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do that. And if you lend to those and expect in return, even sinners do that. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hope for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Are you known as a merciful person? Because as a follower of Jesus, you should be. We should be known for our love above all else. This is a huge point about this verses 32 through 36. And here's what we're good at as Christians, even because we're human. We're good at kind of an inbred love. That didn't sound very good. We're good at loving our families unconditionally. We're so good at loving and serving and taking care of our children, our spouses, those in our circle. And that's not a bad thing. But Jesus tells us right here, what about people who are different than you, who look different, act different, believe different, think different, who are mean to you, who you don't like, who you see and just go, ugh. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll love them just as much as yourself. He didn't say it was easy. Going to the cross wasn't easy. Jesus letting them arrest him wasn't easy. Jesus keeping his mouth closed as they made fun of him and mocked him and beat him wasn't easy, but he did it out of love for you. And you and I, when we love God, we will love others. We will love others that are hard to love, Jesus tells us here. We must start loving the lost and the ugly and each other as much in our actions and reactions as much as we do our own blood, our own immediate families. Because guess what? Once you gave your heart and life to Jesus, all these people around you became your blood by the blood of Jesus. You know, the whole, I don't like a lot of the religious stuff and religious talk, you know, that kind of bothers me. If I ever hear you or you come up to me and we're talking, how you doing, Micah? Good to see you this morning. Hey, we're having a lunch together. And, you know, I'm like, hey, would you pray for lunch? You're like, sure, I'll pray for lunch. Dear God, thou wast artist in heaven. Would thou wast blessest this meal? I don't like that stuff. I'm not making fun of praying. I'm making fun of when we do that. I'm making fun of when we do that. Yeah, just bring it on up. Yeah, I'll get it when we're done. I will rave because it's beautiful.
Yes, because it is beautiful. That's
all right. Praise Jesus. All right, awesome. We will celebrate something when we are done. Wonderful. Thank you. So that religious stuff kind of bothers me. Just kind of the religion. And we sometimes do it in church and we mean well. Someone comes to church and, you know, well, good morning. It would be edifying if you'd meet me in the fellowship hall. They don't know what that means. And so some of that religious stuff at times can kind of, it's not necessarily kind of my thing, if you will. And so, but there's one that thing that we say that's very much church talk that I love, and that's brother and sister. And I probably call, you will hear me say that, brother, sister, and you're kind of like, yeah, that's pastor talk. No, that is so biblical, that Jesus made us family by his blood. He brought us together by his blood, by his redemption. He made us family. There's an old song called The Family of God. It's one of those hymns that, let's start singing again, because it's so true, about how Jesus brought us together by what we did. We are family. And the Bible says that the family of God, that our faith, that our willingness to follow Jesus should even supersede our own flesh and blood. Jesus says it must look like you hate mother, father, brother. And not that you hate them, but you must love Jesus that much. And when we love Jesus that much, we will love others. And if I'm offended some of you about the prayer talk, I'm sorry. I think that's funny. And that's just, anyway. I was at a church conference a while back, and this guy was getting a hard time about not preaching from the King James. And he said, well, there's a reason I don't preach from it. It's because I'm not 500 years old. He said, we don't talk like that anymore. And so that always kind of stuck with me. And there's nothing wrong with that translation, but I'm totally getting off topic now. Let's get back to love. Love unselfishly. We must love each other that way. You must love me when I get up here and ramble on and you're thinking, man, I wish he'd wear a suit and be more like a pastor. I'm like a pastor when I lead you into God's word, when I preach truth to you, when I love you, when I pray for you. That's being a pastor. And so, guys, we must love unselfishly. We must love like Jesus loved. And I will stick by this. I believe that we're not often as fruitful as we could be because that thing about when the world thinks we're hypocrites, it's not about how we act. It's about how we love or don't love. It's about how we give grace, how we stand for God's truth, how we want to be the light in their life and engage them in the mess that they're in. Because to a perfect God, we're all messes. Thank God for grace. And that's the kind of heart that we need to have. Number one, love unselfishly. Number two, understand that love affects everything. Love affects everything. Everything. If we have the love of God in our heart, if we show up and we want to love God by how we live our lives, by staying out of sin, by trying to honor Him, and then if we, number two, love others this way, love affects everything. Christ-like love that we should give. You should forgive people without them asking you. You should give unselfishly. You should keep your mouth quiet. You should at times not hit send or post. You should always believe the best. You should keep no record of wrongs. This is what the Bible says love does. And love, I believed, when lived in the context of honoring God and following Jesus and in the power of His Holy Spirit and through His Word in our lives, I believe is infinitely more powerful than hate. I believe love conquers. I believe that the blood of Jesus conquers. I believe we can conquer the darkness that is in Hoopston, Illinois by living lives of love. And here's a third one, and this is where we struggle when we start saying, yeah, I'm going to live that love. Love doesn't care about rejection. Man, I hate being rejected. I hate being wrong. I hate when I see someone and say hi to them and they snub me, and maybe they didn't hear me, but it just makes me just get chills. I feel so stupid. I hate being rejected. Love doesn't care about rejection. Think about if Jesus had cared about rejection. He would have said, forget it. He would have not went to the cross. The world was rejecting him, mocking him. The religious people were rejecting him. But he didn't give up because he had a purpose to love. Have you given up on wayward ones or loved ones? Do you go around and look at people and think you are ridiculous? We can't do that. We need to be a praying people. Don't give up. Be in prayer. Fast. Do you pray every day or very often for our church, for you in your life to be a part of reaching lost people? If you don't, you should. Love doesn't care about rejection. I think the ultimate act of that was Jesus on the cross. And he's our model. They had arrested him. They had beaten him. They were crucifying him. He had nails through his flesh. And he stood up there and said what? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Guys, people you know that don't know Jesus, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're missing. And it's our job not to judge them, not to chastise them, not to let them make us act just like the rest of the world. It's our job to love them. It's our job to engage them. It's our job to not fear rejection, but to do anything we could to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Because point four, there is power in love. There is power in love. We hear these days that one person can't make a whole lot of difference, and in a lot of contexts that's true, but when it comes to living the love of Jesus our Lord, we can make a difference, and so can you. One person can make a difference. And I'll tell you what, just as there's power in love, I'm going to show you and talk about in a minute how, as much as there's power in love, I believe for the believer, there's just as much destructive power in choosing not to love, in choosing not to forgive, in choosing not to give mercy and grace. I have used this story once before some time back, but I want to use it again. You guys, I hope you don't know who this is, but this day and age, you know who Hugh Hefner is. Here we go, Sunday morning talking about Hugh Hefner. You guys know who he is. You know what he stands for. He's the guy who's like 110 years old and wears pajamas, looks like a raisin. He's the Playboy guy. You know the story of his childhood? That he had lived a childhood absolutely devoid of love and affection. His parents never loved him. He was never hugged or kissed. He was never showed any affection. His mother was a germaphobe and was afraid she wouldn't touch him. She was afraid to even touch him. Never kissed him, never shown love in any of his family, parents, grandparents, whatever. And so his only source of affection and security growing up was a blanket, and it was his bunny blanket. It had pictures of bunnies all over it. And that was the only thing he had that was shown love. And so guess what? What does he do now? How has he spent his entire life and his adult life living with bunnies? And think about, because this one young man wasn't shown love, wasn't shown affection, think of the countless addictions and divorces and sin and rampant pornography and destroyed marriages and lives because of what he has produced with his life, because he wasn't loved. There is power in love, church, but there is destructive power when love isn't given, and especially when that comes from you and I. As much capacity as you and I have to love, and if you're taking notes, this is a great one to write down. As much capacity as we have to love, we have the capacity to destroy by not loving and not caring. The apathetic Christian who's not concerned about loving or serving or reaching the lost is not a Christian at all. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect in that area, but I care. I love. I pray. I fast. I care about reaching lost people. I mean to tell you, if you spend any time around me, I mean, I hope you know that. I hope that shows. There is power in love, but follower of Jesus, let me tell you, there's power when we don't love and when we don't care. And one of the things we have to do, our fifth point, is to love our enemies. Love the ugly. Love your enemies. Love them. Romans 12 says this. Romans 12 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, 'Vengeance is mine,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Verse 20, let me give you a heart test this morning. Let me give you an EKG here. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him a drink. For in being nice to them, you will heap coals of fire on his head or her head. If you read that and you're like, "Yeah, baby, coals of fire," you might not be in a great spot heart-wise. Because what that verse is actually talking about, that it is only the love of Jesus that can melt a hard heart. It is only the love of Jesus that can melt a broken heart. And everything you do in your Christian walk is important, but there's nothing more important than loving people in such a fanatical way that they are exposed to the love of Jesus. That they're exposed to a perfect God coming to earth and getting messy and dirty and giving himself up and humbling himself and dying on a cross. And if we're not loving people that way, we're not showing them Jesus. It will melt people's heart. You want to make a difference in our community? Go out in your daily life and love people. Choose to not respond. Choose to turn the other cheek. Choose to be generous. Choose to ignore their insults. Choose to be kind to them anyway. You will impact them. You will melt their heart when you do that. And Jesus commands us to do that. Finally, our sixth one, which is so countercultural. Hold your pen for a moment right there. I'll get there. Our world tells us, you do what you want. Follow your heart. Make yourself happy. It's your life. You only live once, but God's word tells us and Jesus tells us to meet the needs of others before we meet the needs of ourselves. Put others first, no matter what. You must understand and live this to be a follower of Jesus. Romans 12, 9 through 10. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring one another. Don't just pretend to love each other, but genuinely do it. See, we often get love wrong because we do it out of our flesh. We do it to make ourselves happy. But the way that we ought to love is to love like Jesus did, and that's putting others first. I mean, do you guys know any people in your lives that are really selfless, that really give themselves their time, etc., to love others, to impact others, to serve others? That's what we should all as Christians be known for, loving, kind, generous, caring, a servant. But guys, the love, and if you feel like your heart isn't right, you feel like you're not loving that way, or maybe here's a big one, you're so caught up in your life that, yeah, I love, but I'm busy. I do good, I do care, I pray. But to show that love to people, and for some of you, here's the deal. What was last week's message about? Being authentic and real. Some of you, through your small groups or with me or in some counseling, you've got stuff that's happened in your life. You've got stuff in your heart that you need to get real and deal with, and you'll never be able to love until you do. For some of you, it's sin. For some of you, it's your marriage. It's stuff that's happened. It can be all kinds of things. But you've got to deal with those things before you can love like the Lord wants you to love. See, the world needs Jesus more than ever. And this is, I know, we always say that, but it's so true. We're gonna close in just a moment. Jesus said that I am the vine. He is the vine and you and I are the branches. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Guys, if our love walks aren't right, nothing else matters. What's 1 Corinthians say? If I don't have love, I'm just making noise. All the coming to church, all the trying to do good, all the trying to be good, all the Bible studies, if you're not loving, you're just wasting your time. And if you don't have that heart of love this morning, you can receive that by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're a Christian, but you feel like you've backslidden, if you feel like you're so wrapped up in other things that you don't love people this way, if you find yourself on a daily or weekly basis getting into arguments, getting mad about stuff, you need to come and pray to Christ about that. That's not how he wants us to live. He wants us to love. That's our goal. We have one chance, one life to make a difference, and we should be loving. We should be doing good things. Jesus said this in Matthew 10. He said that whoever gives one a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, I shall say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Because guys, when you love, kindness follows. Service follows. Obedience follows when you love God. And see, I think we can get so caught up in life about the, do we give a plastic cup? Do we give bottled water? Do we give Aquafina? Do we give Fiji? Should it be cold water? Should it be, I like my water. Jesus tells us to love. And nothing else you do, Jesus said, sums up you being a follower of him like loving. The entire law, all the stuff in his word that we need to follow and care about and do good, and I could go on. If we are not loving, we are just making noise. If you do not have a heart of compassion for lost people who are on their way to hell without change, without saying yes to God's grace, you need to come and pray about your heart. If you're so busy, if you're so caught up in life, if you're bitter, if you're angry, if whatever it is, if it's keeping you from loving, it's keeping you from Christ. And so this morning as we sing, would you guys stand with me? As always, if you guys need to pray about something, you can come over to the sides or the steps and pray. If you would like me or someone to pray with you, come to the main altar here and we'll try to have prayer with you. Let's pray together before we sing and respond. Heavenly Father, I love you and I praise you that in Jesus' name I know that you are working on our hearts. And Lord God, if there are hearts here who come and Lord, we don't feel, Lord, your Holy Spirit working, we don't feel your conviction, Heavenly Father, God, those are hearts that need to be worked on. And that's okay. You have open arms. You love us. You know where we're at today. But God, you command us. It is all summed up in loving in action each other and the world around us. And Heavenly Father, it starts with loving you, with wanting to be obedient, with wanting to please you, with understanding you are our maker, you are the beginning and the end. You, Heavenly Father, have given us life itself. And Lord, we have responded by giving you back our lives, by saying yes to Jesus. God, I pray that we as a church are living this out. And Lord, I pray you'd convict us to do so in Jesus' name.